Last time on Crown of the Kobold King, our heroes departed from Falcon's Hollow and headed back down into Droskar's Crag. Rootmore started feeling sick and learned that he contracted filth fever from the rats they encountered 1,000 episodes ago. The party decided to go into the steam-filled room and were set upon by electric lizards. After examining them, the group pushed forward to find a large room lined with dwarven statues. Our heroes found text saying followers of Droskar won a significant battle, but then learned it was false. The party then decided to head east into the narrow cave. The hot, smoky cave prevented Scarab from seeing a beast right in front of him. Our story continues now!
Two out of the five issues through it.
The Ronin?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
So I know who the last turtle is. I won't spoil it for you. Do you want to borrow it?
I already know.
You know?
I know just because I got spoiled on accident.
Yeah, I think Emma and I both knew when we were having the conversation with you.
Yeah, I also know.
Well, I guessed correctly.
Yeah.
But I also know who died first.
I don't know that. I don't know.
I want you to read it. It's so good. It's
I don't know
so
how
good.
They died. I don't know what happened or anything. I just know who the last turtle is.
I know. I spoiled Cody on it, but he needs to read it too because it's just like a really good comic, especially for a story that's been going on for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's dang good. I won't spoil it for the listener. The Last Ronin, Eastman and Laird.
I
back
know. The,
at
the
it.
Original dudes, man.
Yeah. The art is so good.
Golly, I want them to make a movie and direct it and stuff.
That'd be something. That'd be something. I don't
It'd be dark as hell. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, I don't know what their story is right now, like how they feel about the property or what they're doing with it. I know The Last Ronin was definitely just a love letter.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely will read it because that's one of the things that really interests me the most about it is that they're taking the IP back to like the old Eastman and Laird.
But it has so much of everything else that's been done. They they really owned the turtles with it. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's not even about like it denounces anything. It's just more of like the whole Eastman and Laird style of the comic was a lot darker, a lot grittier, and a lot more serious. Not meant to be like some, you know, 90s turtle-tastic, you know, insane frat party type thing, which that has its own place.
Yeah. There are these drops of that kind of shit, because I know, I don't know the guys, but back in the day, they kind of didn't want a part of that. You know, they wanted, of course, they want the IP to grow. I love the cartoon, the original, like, 89,
and
early
the games.
90s cartoons. Like, it was all about that. But growing up, I can see how the original was way different.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I didn't find out about Eastman and Laird until way after I already loved TMNT to begin with.
Man, it's like Berserk. If they like made Berserk a comedy, just a silly slapstick for children
comedy.
Yeah,
exactly. I would hate it.
That wouldn't make any damn sense.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
But yeah, no, I agree. Like, I also love the non-Eastman Laird stuff, but it's really cool that when they decided to make this thing that they wanted to go back to that a moment. And I think that that's really cool. So I'm definitely going to read it just for that alone.
Oh, and the art is just too good.
Plus, like, I love comedy as much as the next guy, but I also just really like gritty, dark, serious stuff.
Well, especially when both.
Just so moody.
Because real life is that.
Yeah.
For me, it is dark, but there's always some comedy. Otherwise, like,
why are we here?
What am I doing?
Just to suffer.
Mm-hmm. So it's cool. It doesn't take itself too seriously. It's not edgy for the sake of edgy. It's awesome.
Well, speaking of dark and edgy.
Yeah.
When we last left off, you fashioned yourself some gas masks from those left behind by the kobolds, and you began your first foray into the smoke-filled tunnels on the northeastern part of these subterranean ruins. You began to fumble through the dark, bumping into twists and turns in a rocky corridor before you found yourself slowly moving through what seemed like an opening before Scarab bumped into something that he first thought was a wall, but was much softer and, dare I say, a little fuzzier.
Oh boy.
And as he slowly backed away from whatever he ran into, a low growl begins to emit and an orange glow builds between the wafting smoke clouds, filling the space with a fiery heat.
Let's go the other way.
Two orange eyes open in narrow slits as a face in the shroud turns towards you, and suddenly a circular ball of orange begins to form just beneath them as a gout of flame spews in your direction. Roll for initiative.
I don't know why it's playing off of the TV. Let me just turn the TV off. What the fuck was that? Let's try this again.
What's happening to us?
There it is.
Here we go.
Fix it in post.
Here we go.
So confused.
I'm really excited for everyone to hear this this AI music I've made.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I know. Look, we can have that conversation someday, everybody. I get it. I understand.
It's so good.
But the boys got other stuff to do. We all got other stuff to do. I hope you're enjoying the thumbnails, too. I think Imad's AI thumbnails look fantastic.
On YouTube? I've been losing my mind making those. It's so fun.
Hey, everybody, I just want you to know, we're all artists here. I understand that...
Oh, trust. Real stuff will be coming out. We're just trying to make stuff look good right now.
Just understand that, you know, jobs happen, and we don't really have the time to work on that kind of stuff. And we respect...
Be nice to your AI overlords.
Yes.
And pay it forward to real creators.
Yes. That also.
Right now, I'm not a real creator. It'll happen. Watch.
No, this is good AI. I'm paying for the pictures. Matt, you're paying for the music you're making.
Some asshole's getting paid. And I'm going to be subbed to Michael Gelfi forever.
Yeah.
Don't mind me, just rolling damage.
You can't do that. Not yet, please.
No. I can and I will.
Not yet. Let me move 10 feet first.
Not good.
That's so funny.
Thank you.
Emma, do you have a 21? You need to get a 21 drop.
Dead meme.
Dead meme, but here's the thing. I've got 10 perception, and I rolled a 9. What's 9 plus 10?
19. Oh, and you wanted to say 21.
No, it is 19, but when I roll for initiative, I get plus 2. So what's 9 plus 10? 21?
Oh, my God. Wow.
The kid was just...
He just knew.
Old meme or future person.
Yeah.
Both. I hope. He died.
Yeah, he gone. He gone. He was just too stupid. No, not.
Man, you stupid.
No, not.
Nah, not. Oh, damn.
No, not. Be my next character.
Don't do that. Well, unless I'm out running the game, that's fine.
Or your initiative is always 21.
21. What'd you guys get for your initiative? Scarab?
21.
And Rumor?
25.
Ooh, what is your modifier?
It's plus 11, but you get to go first, according to the rules.
Really?
Yes.
Ooh.
Whenever a player and a creature ties, the creature goes first.
Spicy. Monet?
18.
Well, that works out perfectly. Because the gout of flame does, in fact, go in your direction. I need a reflex save from... all of you. Let me do a little reveal here for a second.
Yeah, do a reveal first, because I do get to move 10 feet. Or let me make sure.
It's like a wolf that's on fire. It's a wolf with a glowing belly.
Okay, and glowing, my first action on my turn.
Did I say it
weird? Does indeed look like that, for as the gout of flame spews forth from it, it separates a bit of the smog so you can see what is undeniably a hellhound.
Oh my god!
Smog!
Reflex saves, everybody.
I got mine rolled. It's been rolled.
Oh, fuck yeah!
What'd you get, Monet?
I got a 29.
Beautiful. Wow. That is a critical success. You will take no damage.
Ooh. Hell yeah.
And Scarab?
24.
Half damage.
26.
Half damage. That will be 46 worth of fire damage, which I rolled. And that is a total of 15. So half of that for you will be 7 fire damage. And then I have to roll to see how many rounds before I get to do that again.
How many?
Okay. That is 2 rounds.
Oh, wow. You told me. Didn't expect that.
You're welcome. Separate your knowledge from your character.
Hot, hot. All of Rootmore's sausages are now cooked.
Perfect.
That's good.
You're going to have to roll for that?
Unfortunately, it's not the end of what happens, for as the last traces of flame leave its now glowing mouth, it will snap its jaws at you, Scarab. We're talking about a 29 to hit.
Shit.
Un momento.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but if you have not acted yet in combat, you do not get access to your reaction, correct?
That's up to you. If you feel like we're surprised, then we don't get reactions, but technically we can get reactions if we haven't gotten yet.
We did just get hit.
Are you sure that's the way it works, Simon?
Yes.
Okay.
Because there's no rule saying that you can't have a reaction before your turn.
Well, there is a rule that says on your turn you gain your actions and your reactions. And so if you have not had a turn, would one gain a reaction that they have not gained yet? Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. In my head, I feel like whether...
I would use it up for my turn. Because I see combat as, and I know I shouldn't, but I see it as a round. Like the full, like it starts on the boss, ends on the last guy. And I know that doesn't work as far as reactions go, but I keep it.
Yeah, I am fine with doing that, but bear in mind if I allow this, then that means that applies for creatures as well. So if you were to sneak up on a creature and then do something, if that creature has a reaction that can do something, it will do it.
I don't, and that's the thing, I don't think I would combat that.
Okay. Then
unless
this
it's
is
like
a new precedent has been set.
I'll
reactions
put it in my
are
rules.
Able to be used before your turn.
I would at least say for, because I don't have a reaction that I'm going to use here, but I would say like that first attack you did, maybe not, but like you do the fire breath, and then you go for another. At that time, I would see my character as being like, whoa, hey, chill. But I know that's like even more in the minutiae of a combat. Because
it could also be, if you really want to get into the nitty-gritty,
like,
the fact that all of this is happening in 6 seconds means that gout of flame comes out. You're surprised by a gout of flame.
Yeah,
and then
sure.
immediately, a as bite. You stop shielding your arms, you move your hands away just in time to see the jaws clamping around you.
And yeah, that's totally cool.
If I was running it, I wouldn't allow reactions until their turn. Just because we couldn't see them until we boom bumped into them.
Yeah.
For another DM's perspective, I would allow it.
I think there's like a time and place. It still should be gone over.
Yeah.
Like, does it make sense for the moment?
I think I agree with case by case. Let's say in this instance, because the fight happened unexpectedly, there are no surprise rounds, but we will say that because you were caught off guard that there is no reactions before your turn in this instance.
Yeah.
However, in an instance in which you are ready and something else happens, we'll play it by ear.
Yeah.
So I think I agree with you initially. Okay.
But yeah, that's a hit.
29. Is it a crit?
No.
Okay. So regular damage.
If it was a crit, it would have done something. Or it would have tried to.
Please, Lord, give me a chance.
Ooh, okay. You are going to take 8 points of piercing damage.
You can see Scarab's bubble shield burst.
I am not done. 2 points of fire damage. And 1 point of void damage. So altogether 11.
What were the extras?
2 and 1. Fire and void. So 11 altogether.
Oof. Not great.
And it has another attack.
Oh
which
my god.
It will use. This
Think
time,
fire breath is one action?
Yes, sir.
Jesus.
With a round stipulation. So it can't use it. I already told Felicia what it was. Everybody else heard. Two rounds before it can do that again. At the end of this full round, it will go down by one.
I wrote it on the map.
That is a natty 15, this time for a 23 to hit.
That's with negatives?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Alrighty.
That probably just hit you, huh?
8 points of piercing damage. I'm sorry. I messed up. It is actually a 1d8 plus 4, and then the other two dice. So add 4 damage for the first, bringing the total to 15.
Oh, good. I'm absolutely down after this.
This one is now another points of 12, plus 1 point of fire, and 6 points of void for a total of 19 damage.
Yeah, I'm down.
Okay.
And that is the creature's turn. And it is Rootmore's turn.
Fantastic.
So that drops you down below Scarab, and you are now unconscious.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rootmore, your friend in front of you falls.
And he's moved up in initiative before the Hellhound.
Thank you for reminding me. I will change that now.
Okay, grappling and moving characters. What would you allow? Or how many actions, I guess?
He is not unconscious. Or he is. I don't think you have to worry about grappling him because he is unconscious. So I will say, as long as you are strong enough to pull him away, that you can do that for an action, I believe. We'll base that off like the shove trait, which means you can move him. What is it, 5 to 10 feet? I think that's what I did for Monet when she moved you.
Ooh.
Man.
Yeah, 5 for success, 10 for critical.
Okay, and that's against their athletics DC, or their fortitude DC?
Fortitude DC.
Okay. I will say go ahead and do that and give yourself a +2 on the roll because he's unconscious.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, before I do it, pretty much what I want to do is throw him behind Rootmore and this little guy right here.
This little guy's face over here.
Okay, so you're aiming for moving him 10 feet is what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I only succeed moving him 5 feet, where would he go?
To your left in that little nook. He's a small creature, so that should be fine for you to just start pulling him. And then if you want to use another action to move him another 5 and so on.
And
if you crit, though, you'll be able to move him 10. You could just move him 2 diagonals. You'd be fine.
Yeah. Can Rootmore see Scarab?
Yes. The thing that you were having trouble seeing is 5 feet beyond 5 feet in front of you, the smoke is thickest, and that's where you can see the glowing eyes of this thing, though you cannot see it itself. Mm-hmm. So as long as something is adjacent to you, as you saw coming down the tunnel, anything, if you stay close enough to each other within 5 feet, you can barely make each other out. But anything beyond that is heavily obscured.
Okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm not going to move Scarab.
Rootmore is going to point his hammer at Scarab and fire lightning. I'm just kidding. No.
I've decided who my next character is going to be. I'm pretty excited for it. Totally don't have any feelings for what's happening right now.
Scarab, did you put a marker on yourself for unconscious?
There's a skull.
I see that. I don't know what that's for.
I'm dying.
Oh, you put it on you?
Yeah.
Okay, we're good then.
And he turned to the side. That works. Yeah, he turned himself to the side. So
yeah, I was just making sure it wasn't already there, and I was like, did I forget a thing?
No.
What's this brain exploding thing?
That's just my mom's favorite character in the dirt.
Remember that, Cody.
You already killed the chicken.
Also, don't forget that Matt's mom knows where you live.
That's true. Well, you know. Why don't you come up and see me sometime? All right, what are you doing, Rootmore?
So Rootmore points his hammer at Scarab. Not today, little man, not today. 27 hit points.
Hell yeah.
Beautiful.
Get up and run! Get behind me! And Rootmore raises his shield for his third action.
All right, Scarab, you are up again, but you are at the initiative before the Hellhound, which means effectively...
Yeah, I go last.
Yes. And so Monet is up next.
I'm still prone.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, Monet is going to... Oops, I still have the drawing tool on.
You just deleted yourself?
Can you give me back?
Control Z?
Back.
No? Okay. No. Give me a second. Let me find you again.
So sorry.
Monet, where'd you go? What dreams
I think
come?
I don't know what token or what things you had on you, so if you did, clever.
No, I did, in fact. Can you give me again?
Yeah, I have to add you and me. There you go. You have control.
Okay. So.
Thank you so much, Rootmore.
Monet will move.
I was going to say, can I say one more thing on my turn?
Yeah.
Monet! Run back to where we came! Let's fight him out of this smoke!
Monet will move. And she will attempt to move. Throw Scarab.
Okay. Give me a shove check.
I'll do a flight roll.
Also, I believe if you are a willing participant to an effect, that you can forego the check. Which means
I'm gonna throw you.
Yeah, he's already playing dead.
Yeah. You can
upset when Rootmore yielded. He was like, No,
he's gonna know.
If you wanna roll
I'm breathing again
just to see if you crit, then you can do that. Give yourself a +2. And if you don't crit, there's no possibility of failure here. We'll say it's either you move him 5 feet or you move him 10. Although we'll have to give that an extra stipulation due to the tight nature of this corridor. Moving him 5 feet, he can't occupy the same space as someone else, which means you will have to, if you only move him 5 feet, you will have to dedicate another action to moving him another 5. Okay?
Oh yeah, is our movement difficult terrain in this smoke?
Yes.
Okay, so... Monet, never mind. Don't run away. Let's just fight him here, I guess.
Athletics, okay.
Yeah, it's athletics against his fortitude DC.
And do not forget about your powerful point. PP's
that
at the ready, everyone.
That is a 26. Everyone.
We're always doomed.
Ooh, 26.
What is your fortitude DC, Scarab?
Oh, trash. 19.
So 26 is a success, but not a crit. So you can move him 5 feet. And then spend another action to do it again. And you don't have to check this time unless you want to try to move him 10 more specifically.
No, so move him right here behind Matt. Move him behind Rootmore.
Gotcha. All right, so Monet, you grab Scarab by the scruff of his armor and spin around and hurl him over Rootmore into the cave behind you.
Oh, did that heal bring you up all the way?
My HP is full.
Okay, so you're not wounded. That's the only way magic can take away the wounded condition.
Beautiful.
Is if you bring him up all the way.
Well done.
Okay, and that's Monet's turn.
That's so cool.
Turn. She moved and used two actions to throw him.
You are correct, which means it is now Scarab's turn at the top of the round.
Holy shit, thank you, guys. Scarab is going to... you know what? He's not going to stand himself up.
Oh, and Monet will also say, Rootmore, back up.
Oh, no problem. Rootmore, watch your mouth.
Back the fuck up.
Would you give me a straight line to him if I was to shoot him?
Yes.
Okay.
If you are remaining prone, though, you're going to have to shoot
prone
through Rootmore's legs. So I am going to give it a plus one, and it is obscured, so you will have to pass a natural five flat check or lose the action.
Yeah, Scarab will roll flat check. Does not succeed.
Oh, damn it.
Damn. Okay, you got it out of the way.
So, based on what you guys were saying, we're staying here.
Yes. It's too hard to look around and I can't see. Difficult terrain.
Oh, understood. Totally.
Okay, so I would like to try again. Well, does the seek action, would that take my ammo? Or just, like, wasting time waving my gun?
Oh, for the lost action?
Yeah.
I'm going to say that you just couldn't find the mark. Very much in the, you know, old 90s action movie, you're sitting there with your gun and you're trying to get a bead on it, but the wavering smoke mixed with the orange glow radiating off of it makes it hard to pinpoint the shot.
Okay. So for my final two actions, I will... Ooh, this sucks. I'm going to hunt prey. Hunt prey on the creature, and then I'm going to seek it. So I get a plus two to pinpoint it, unless I'm using that wrong.
Sorry, one thing at a time here. I'm looking for, there it is. Okay, the hunt prey icon. This is something that I still get confused on, even though we literally just did this.
I know.
If it has not been, when do I apply the 5 flat check and the 11 flat check?
The 11 is for... if you don't know they're there, I think?
No, because you can't shoot at something you don't know is there.
I can,
it's hidden. Let me see.
I can tell you, because...
There's the unobserved, observed, obscured. There's, like, a whole chart for
it. Your flat check for concealed is DC 3 instead of 5. Your flat check for your flat check to target undetected creatures is 9 instead of 11.
Okay, so it's not undetected. So we're still going off the 5. So that was correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then if you 11, which is hidden, that's you know what square they're in, but you can't see them. That's what DC 11.
And the seek action, what is the benefit of that? Does that remove the 5 flat check?
That I don't know.
Yeah, sorry. No, I think that the only benefit to the seek is to reduce their status from undetected to hidden, or from hidden to observed, which it is currently observed, but it is concealed. I think, hold on, observed. Anything in plain view is observed, so no, it's not observed. The creature takes measures to avoid detection, such as using stealth to hide. It can become hidden or undetected. So it is currently hidden, I believe. Double checking on that.
Yeah, and if I seek, a hidden creature can become observed.
While a creature is hidden from you, you know the space that it's in, but you can't tell precisely. But can't tell precisely where. When seeking a creature using only imprecise senses, it remains hidden rather than observed. A creature you are hidden from is off guard to you and must succeed a DC 11 flat check. Oh, my brain. My small, small brain.
What is the DC 5 called?
It's just a flat check, which...
But the words. I know hidden is DC 11.
I think it's obscured.
Obscured.
Or concealed?
I believe concealed is the highest.
It's not. Undetected is the highest.
Undetected is
you have no idea it's there. Hidden is you have an idea that something is exactly there, but you don't know what it is. And then concealed is you know what the something is and where it is, but it's hard to pinpoint it. I'm pretty sure.
I feel like concealed and hidden are the same thing.
Well, hidden is a DC 11 flat check. That I just checked and I'm sure.
Yeah.
And the stipulation for that is a creature knows the space that you are in, but can't tell precisely where you are. That's the old 50% mischance. The 20% mischance, the DC 5, I believe, is just for concealed creatures.
I think it's concealed.
Concealed.
Yeah, because it says a concealed creature is in mist within dim light or amid something else that obscures sight but isn't a physical barrier.
Yes, so I think concealed is correct. So it should just be a DC 5 then. Well, the bit that I'm at is, I guess if the creature makes an attack, then it would go from hidden to observed, but it's still concealed. So it should be a DC 5 flat check. I don't think that doing the seek action will reduce that any further, so it's still going to be a 5. So it might just be worth taking the shot.
Well, the other good thing about hunting prey is that I have flurry, and rather than taking a minus 5 MAP, it would be minus 3.
And you can do that. I think you can hunt prey. I just wouldn't worry about the seek action.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah.
Because you already tried to fire and that failed, and then hunt prey for your second.
Fire.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I would like to do. Wanted to know whether or not that would be worth it to seek.
In this case, no. If it had not made the attack,
if we knew he was in the room and had not attacked yet.
Yes. Or even if you had gone before it, not knowing it was there, and then it spout a gout of flame, then it would be still at that DC 11 because you don't know what's going on. Then seek would be good to be like, it's right there. I just don't know what it is.
Yes.
And so
I guess I could.
We'll get this eventually.
It'll be there. It's always changing.
A couple years. Yeah.
Okay. So I will go for that DC 5 flat check.
And again, I will give it a +1 just because of Rootmore's legs.
Okay. I passed the check.
Thick legs.
All right. Roll to hit.
I'm going to pass in my PP. And hope for the best. I'm rolling twice on hunted prey. 25 to hit.
That is a hit.
Yes.
Okay. Not the best. 8 damage.
Damage is damage. What is the type of damage?
Piercing magical.
Beautiful. As your bullet rips through the tunnel, you see a gout of sparks. Flies, it makes impact, and the creature lets off a pain howl.
Get it! It has a taste for blood!
Oh, God.
And it is the creature's turn. You see for a moment as the glow on the creature begins to dim before it realights in front of you, Monet, and it tries to bite you. Big oof. That's a 16 to hit. Nope, sorry, a 20.
That is a
big difference, but a miss nonetheless. Ugh. And that is actually the creature's turn. Rootmore, you're up.
You'd love to hear that.
Ah, good, you moved up. That's perfect. Yeah, screw it. Let's go for a vicious swing. Maybe it will die. Just big hammer hit.
Flat check.
Oh, flat check, 7.
Okay, good.
Same here.
Roll the hit.
Oh, thank you. That would have felt shitty. Oh my god, very neat. 25 to hit. Yes.
Got it.
It's 2d10. 14 bludgeoning damage.
And the nature of your damage, just bludgeoning?
Go, Rudy!
Magical, too, if that matters.
Your hammer connects, and just like before, sparks fly as you crash your hammer into the head of this beast, staggering it for a moment. What else you got?
Take that, idiot.
He's going to raise his shield again. That's it.
And Monet.
Just imagine a combat. Raise a shield. Okay, Monet, your turn.
Well, Rudy did not listen.
What?
To move.
Oh, no. I don't remember that. I apologize. Rudy's had one too many sausages.
There's a lot going on.
Yes, I can't see anything. I will take whatever damage is deserved to me.
Can Monet see here?
Vaguely.
Can she summon her whirling grindstone there?
I will allow it with a 5 flat check.
Ooh.
You do know the space exists.
Mm-hmm.
15.
Beautiful.
So Monet will cast her whirling grindstone, her Beyblade, directly behind. Are we going to have the whirling grindstone go now or at the end of her turn?
End of your turn.
Okay. So one action for that. Sorry, 2 actions for that. So she'll do an elemental blast.
Okay.
Noise.
The legendary Beyblade. God damn it.
Don't forget your flat check first.
Haven't even started drinking yet.
Six.
Beautiful. Wow. Barely.
Well, she gets a three.
Oh, you're right. Never mind. Twice as much. You'll hit forever.
That is a 15 to hit.
That is a miss.
Shit.
Okay, but with the whirling grindstone. Next.
Grind that puppy.
AC attack against an adjacent creature. That is a fail. So.
Damn.
It's a 10.
That is a fail.
Yeah.
Okay.
It happens.
But it can sharpen its weapons.
Nice. New round. Scarab, you're up.
Just biting a spinning grindstone. Ah!
I think a Tom and Jerry thing comes back away and all the teeth are cracked and falling out.
First action. I always forget how this works. I'd like to do my Raconteur's reload and attempt to create a diversion with the wolf.
I believe that is your deception check against its will DC.
Yes. I just need to remember what that does for me. I think it makes it off guard.
Correct. To you. For
yes.
One round.
Yeah. I would like to do that in my reload. So one action, reload. Scarab's going to still prone. He's waving his weapon. I'm throwing his voice further down the tunnel.
Careful, wolf! I've seen that thing at work before. It's going to cut you to pieces.
And attempt a deception check. It's going to be a 27.
That is a critical success.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yes.
What's that do for me?
I have no idea. You tell me.
Interesting. Let me see.
Cody, what does my character sheet say?
Where is that? Created version. I think it's just success and failure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Success then. Still a nice roll.
Yep, that's all that's going to come from that.
Okay, so he is now off guard to you and will take a -2 to its AC.
And final action. Well, no, not final action. Second action. Scarab is going to stay laying down. Scarab's going to fire.
Okay. Flat check.
13.
Okay. Beautiful.
And without adding the off guard, it's going to be a 22 to hit.
That is a hit.
Much better. 10 damage, piercing magical. Final action, Scarab reloads.
Oh yeah. White little beastie.
This time, as your shot pierces the creature, you see a small gout of what looks like magma drip down onto the floor from the source, casting a strange orange illumination on the floor. Its light flickers for a moment before it begins to growl in a rage, and the glow begins to grow. It is its turn now, and as the glow and rumble both reach their apex, another gout of flame spews down the hall. I need a reflex save from everyone.
Oh, boy.
Goodbye there with a friend.
What'd you get, Monet?
I got a natural 1.
Oof.
For a 12.
That is a critical failure. Okay, you will take double damage. Scarab?
19.
That is a regular success. Rumor.
Rumor also got a natural 1, but...
Turn in your peepee.
Hand you my peepee and roll again.
Would you allow that for Felicia?
If you'd like to. Fair is fair.
Don't forget your peepee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just because I called him in last doesn't mean that it didn't happen at the same time. You can just leave. Sorry.
So this is probably a good idea.
Yeah, you don't want to take a fucking...
What'd you reroll, Monet?
17.
That is a regular failure. So better. Step up. Rumor?
25.
That is a success.
Okay.
So you and Scarab will take half damage. Monet, you will take regular damage out of 4d6 fire damage.
Ooh.
Got 3 threes on that and a 5 for 14 points of fire damage. to Monet and 7 to Rootmore and Scarab.
Okay.
Oh!
Oh, wait a minute. Let me check some... oh, my goodness. Let me check a dumb little thing.
Are you fire resistant, my little dragon friend?
I don't know if I am yet, but I might be. I think I've been waiting for fire damage for so long.
Do I have... No. Initially, I was going to choose the... Because there is a dwarven ancestry thing you can choose for fire resistance, but I didn't choose that.
I have 2 fire resist.
So you will take 5
yes.
points of fire damage. And nice. For the creatures...
Son of a gun. We haven't fought against fire dudes.
I know.
The same as before, as the last of the flame subsides, shortly behind it is an orange glowing maw biting at Monet.
Well, I guess there was that one wormy guy.
That is a huge hit for a 31.
Oh.
That is a hit.
Only a hit.
Only a
wow.
hit.
Yeah, wow.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, you got that AC. Let's go.
Huge. That is 5 points of piercing damage, 1 point of fire damage, and 2 points of void damage for a total of 8.
Okay.
And as its jaws swipe to take a bite at you, they will move past you to Rootmore, where there will be a second bite.
Get out of here.
Which will miss.
Silly dog.
And Rootmore, it is your turn.
Monet, do you want me to move? Or is it too late for that?
It's too late.
Fantastic.
I was going to put the Beyblade in front of me, and you didn't move.
Oh,
that would have been pretty good.
My bad.
Yeah,
anyway.
Ruined my plan. It's okay.
Vicious swing!
Okay, good. Where's my to hit? That's actually, I don't know, 20 to hit?
20 is a hit.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Yes.
Ooh!
Roll well, Rootmore.
Drake!
Bring out the whole ocean!
13 bludgeoning damage.
Ooh, where's the lobster?
As the creature bites at you and misses, and your hammer comes down, describe your kill.
Oh my god. So we've got the Beyblade going on behind it. This thing is gnashing at us. Rootmore's got his shield up. It just waits for the perfect moment. Blocks the last attack with his shield. Comes straight down with the hammer, crushes through the skull, skull flattens, magma splatters.
And you are out of combat.
Woo!
Well, 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 I'm just really good at killing dogs.
Apparently. Not big dog fans, dwarves.
I don't like dogs. They're gross.
Thank goodness!
This one is sick.
Tricky, are you okay? Tricky!
Tricky, are you okay?
Monet, please cover your mouth when you sneeze.
No.
You're in your gas mask.
Just splatter on your gas mask.
Thank goodness. So, shall we continue?
Yes, I'm having a good time.
I might need to take a 10, you know?
Yeah, good idea. Let's just go back so we're not sitting around in the smoke. Let's go back to where Tricky is.
Yeah, I would like to use a resolve to get my stamina back.
Same.
Me as well.
Beautiful. What does that bring everybody down to?
That's my first one being used. I've got 3.
Yeah, 3. I think.
Because we just came back from town.
I believe. I have 1.
Okay. 3, 3, and 1.
Oh, shit.
Good to know.
Yeah, luckily I didn't have to use one because he healed the hell out of me.
Well, Monet only has 2 resolve.
Yeah, 2 is your max.
Is that correct?
Oh, Jesus.
What? How is that built?
I think it's class-based.
Damn.
Which makes sense. Trade-offs. You got a caster that's based off constitution, so it's naturally tanky. but at the same time can't get up as often because it is still a caster. Good balance.
If you say so.
Or I wonder if it's a dual class thing.
She's not dual classed.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Because we are. You have four, right, man?
Mm-hmm.
Should we not have four?
Though I don't, I know... I have had it calculate wrong before. Mm-hmm. Because I had to, like, look it up. But right now it's four.
Yeah, we'll look at that later, I guess.
Figure it out. We're all standing right now. We're okay. We're okay.
Because if that's the case, I'm down to have just two to make it fair.
What is your constitution bonus? Is it a plus four? Did you have that one capped?
My con bonus is plus two.
That's why.
Remember we spoke about this. I spec'd my character wrong. Because her main stat should be con,
mm-hmm.
but I chose the wrong thing when I made her.
Yeah.
And so she should be, her hit should be higher, and so should her con should
be
higher.
Oh, so is it based off of your main thing?
It's based off of your key ability modifier.
But okay. I don't know how to make characters, so when I chose everything, I didn't change, like I didn't realize that I could change one of the options while choosing my ability scores, so she's just spec'd wrong.
I'm gonna take a sec to fix that.
It doesn't. I mean, it's been that way. So if I just
maybe
change
for
it
book
right now,
three.
Then it'll change her to hit. It'll change her attack rolls
mm-hmm.
because her con changes her like
everything
damage for her impulse blast or yeah. for elemental blast too. So.
God's giving you an out.
Yeah.
It just feels like cheating at this point, though, because I did it wrong, and I'm not doing it. Like, it would change everything that she's been doing.
It would just change whether or not you hit more.
Yeah.
Which you can still miss. So that part is not that big. But, I don't know. I leave it up to you.
I mean, I hate myself for doing it mm-hmm. wrong because I didn't realize that I was doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Because I don't make characters often.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's up to you. If you, now that you have learned better, if you want to just stick to your mistake and keep going and then do better on the next character, that's an option. Or I'm, like I said, I'm trying to be forgiving here. If you want to fix it, it's not like changing it.
Yeah, not changing a class.
Cheats you out of really anything that you've experienced thus far. Or if you want to feel good about it, I will let you do a respec at level 5. So if you can stick with it for another level, then you can do it when you hit level 5. I'll let you do that as your overnight activity if you would like, if that makes you feel better about it.
I'd rather just you tell me what to do. If you want to do it that way, then I'll do it that way.
I've given you 3 options, and I want you to choose, and I will stick by whichever. So it's either don't fix it now, or fix it when you hit level 5 as that's the in-between compromise.
Like, the reason I felt bad about it is because doing that, it's not like a huge difference, but it lowers her athletics to 11 rather, or to 10 rather than 11. Mm-hmm. And she's done like a lot of athletic stuff.
Let's go with at level 5, we'll let you do it. Okay. We'll treat it as a retrain activity. So once you hit level 5, it will take you a couple days. I want to transcribe this into a narrative thing though. So I want you to think about that as like part of your homework as to why.
She's a baby. I hate that because it was just an accident and I don't know how to write a fix. And
I don't need you to write a fix.
Even
I need you to write a narrative reason for why Monet might be feeling off from how she should be feeling.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it yet though, right?
Yeah. We'll look at it later. All right. Good?
Mm-hmm.
After your brief reprieve outside of the smoky tunnel, what would you guys like to do?
Continue moving through. Can I roll a recall knowledge on this fire dog?
Mm-hmm. That'd be arcana or religion.
Definitely religion. 28.
What would you like to know?
Let's see.
Why he bite us?
I'll say things you know right off the bat. It is a hellhound. They are fiendish extraplanar canines that hail from the pit that can hunt down, quarry, and breathe supernatural gouts of flame. They are temperamental and quick to aggressive behavior. Something else you know, based on your role, is that they are typically, because they come from the pit, they are a summoned entity, which means something brought it here. You also know that when summons are brought into a plane from which they don't exist, that the summoner must still be around. Otherwise, the creature would have left or returned to its plane.
We're not alone in here. Somebody's playing with dark magic. And I think demons are real now.
You also know...
Oh! Just like that!
Yes, I'm looking at one, I think.
Oh, thanks for catching up!
Oh, yes.
That creatures like this can be bound to a site, and that they are supernaturally patient, which means it could have been summoned yesterday, could have been summoned 100 years ago. Could have been here a very long time or a very short time, that you're not sure.
Does it possess any valuables?
Yeah, is the creature like literally laying there dead, or did it dissolve into nothing?
It is slowly dissolving into a receding pool of magma.
Wow.
Can I grab a tooth?
Sure. Give me a crafting check.
Let me assist on that.
I really haven't been finding good goods. I gotta restock my shop.
I don't feel like helping you right now.
Me neither.
You got a 9.
You got a 9.
I rolled a 10 to assist.
I will allow you to extract a fang. However, when you do, a small spurt of magma spills onto your hand for 1 point of fire damage, which you are resistant
Nothing. I'm too powerful!
Wow.
I'll put this tooth in my pocket.
Scarab puts the tooth in his pocket.
Just burns a hole through your pocket.
Clatters to the floor. Turns the lava in your pocket.
No. He's going to put it in his pouch, his waterproof bag.
Let me drop this hellhound tooth in my holy water.
Anything else you want to know?
Resistances, weaknesses.
They are immune to fire. And they are resistant... I'm sorry, they are weak 5 to cold.
Ah. Anybody has cold?
What... As for me to put this item in my pouch, what was the creature's name? Or did we get the name?
Hellhound.
Just straight up Hellhound.
Yeah, Hellhound Fang. The weakness to cold makes sense, for you know that if you can quell the infernal flame that dwells deep within them, that they will essentially turn to stone and crumble.
Wow. Scarab, do you still have those icy bullets?
Used them!
Ah, shame.
Gone!
And then other fun mechanics. You know, it has a breath weapon. It's a 15-foot cone. Can be reused once every 1d4 rounds. For only an action.
Not anymore, though.
Just then.
Not anymore.
They also have incredible vision, being able to see in the dark, and they have an imprecise scent range of 60 feet.
Oh, just like a puppy.
Awful creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm ready to press forward.
But yes, as I was speaking about the demons that I heard about before you chose to believe in them, these kobold, what they call themselves, were trying to raise something. They were working with demons. Not dragons. It's probably going to get gross this way.
I like gross. I'm ready.
Me too. You first.
All right, here we go. Just pushing forward. Oh, no.
Yes.
I can't see. Making sure you're still there.
Monet, grab the wolf's body. We'll need it for warmth.
I'd like to pick up the wolf's body.
There's a test! Don't!
It's dissolving into magma.
No, I need you!
I forget you still have
dust
like
it anyway.
A ball hand.
You forget what?
That you have that fist, that cursed fist.
I also forget gauntlet. That.
Right?
I forgot all about that.
Don't forget the fist. You should put a thing on your character?
Maybe.
Cold iron short fist.
Short blade. Or short sword, sorry.
Can we add that +1 to your fist? I mean,
etch the rune into her.
You can literally make a custom weapon. It's really cool.
I mean, we do have a +1 fee if you want a +1 fist weapon.
I suppose so.
Why not? Magical fist. You can punch ghosts.
Yes,
come
let me
on,
see that.
Dude.
Rootmore peels off the rune sticker.
Yeah, that's how it works. Don't even know why they pay these people.
You just spit on it and wave it in the air for a second, and it gets the adhesiveness back.
It's like a stamp. You gotta lick it.
Yep.
No, don't suck on it.
Oops, I swallowed it. My
I don't
gut
think you're
is
supposed to lick
one.
Stamps.
No, you don't anymore. They're now adhesive.
Well, you were never supposed to, ever. Like, we're figuring things out.
I hear roaches lay eggs on envelope stickiness.
That happened to a lady.
Envelope stickiness, yeah. And then she ate them.
She was licking envelopes, and she got a paper cut on her tongue, and then she was woken up in the middle of the night as roaches burst forth from her tongue because there were apparently roach eggs that got left behind on the adhesive part of the envelope.
I'm gonna cry right now.
Don't know if that's, fact or fiction, but it is a urban legend.
It does. It's a good way to get you to stop licking envelopes.
Well, are you an envelope licker?
My dad used to pay me and my brother to lick envelopes for him. He had, like,
I don't want bugs.
Thousands of them that needed to be sent out for the club that he owned. And me and my brother, we'd just go sit down in the office some days and just sit there and lick them. And if we got through like 500, he'd give us like $20. And we were like, wow. Yay! A third of the way to a video game.
I mean, what? Like,
no, I guess at the time that was, if you were buying just an NES game, $20 was enough for the game.
Well, but also, how many hours were you working?
I mean, as two little kids licking envelopes? Several.
Was it, per day, was it like his full shift there? Was it like an 8-hour day?
That was at the at-home office, so we would do that while he was at work, which meant it was after school. So probably from like 5 to 8, so like 3 hours worth. And that was, we wouldn't do all 500 in 3 hours. It would take a couple days.
Just because my first job at 15, minimum wage was $5.15.
Yeah, I think it was like 8
per hour. So
I think
like,
your dad owes you money for your that.
Well, I mean, I'm
sorry,
just saying, you were getting paid better.
You
were getting paid better than me if you were working 3 hours and getting $20. That's
well,
not
it was
too
me
bad.
And my brother sharing the $20.
Oh, that you guys were getting fucked.
$10.
You guys.
I mean, I was older,
screwed.
So it was really, I was getting like 12, and Justin was getting 8.
Yeah.
Not really. We would take that $20 when we'd go to the pawn shop and we would buy NES games. Back when you would buy games purely based on their label.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
you
also.
I couldn't watch videos or reviews about the game.
No. Unless you had like Nintendo Power and you could read about a game, but we didn't.
Oh my god, I forgot all about that. Just getting actual magazines. Like, oh, look what game is coming up next.
Yeah.
I collected those things.
Oh, yeah, I still have a few.
Yeah. Some of them are worth a lot. I remember flipping through it and seeing, like, the premiere of the GameCube. You remember that, Matt?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it showed, like, a picture of the GameCube controller. Like, it was, like, actual size. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, I know.
Putting my hands on the paper. Like,
I know, exactly.
Pretending like I'm holding it.
Turns out that's like one of my favorite controllers of all time.
Yeah,
period. Like,
it's a really good controller.
Top two.
There's a reason why they still make them for specifically one game. That's crazy.
I know. And now
Smash Brothers, if y'all didn't know. I'm sure y'all know.
I sent Felicia the 90s commercial for the original Smash Brothers game.
I loved that commercial.
For N64. Because we had been talking about the song, and I was like, whenever I hear this song, it takes me back to the best commercial of all time. Man, Smash Bros. But that's a different podcast. We probably talk about Smash Bros. For a while. I'm not even good at it. But boy.
I mean, if you want to hear me talk for a couple of hours, all we got to do is talk about Baldur's Gate, and I'm ready.
We'll get there.
Just let me know.
So you're going to push further in.
Yes.
Something you notice as you begin to pass where the hellhound was. The smoke here grows thicker and thicker, obscuring more and more to where it's even hard to see 5 feet in front of you. You also feel an unnatural amount of heat beginning to build. And you can hear the faint sound of hammering on an anvil, as well as the sound of stone being crushed.
Is this the thing that the headless elf was writing about in their journal?
Do you remember what he said?
Something about a figure that still roams these halls. I don't remember the description or anything.
Well,
but
unless that was him talking about his own body.
No.
No?
This is before he went crazy.
Okay. Uh-oh.
This is it.
Should we go down?
This is it.
I'm ready. Let's go.
The Cursed Caravan uses trademarks and or copyrights owned by Paizo Inc. used under Paizo's community use policy, paizo.com/community-use. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. The Cursed Caravan is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo products, visit paizo.com. The Cursed Caravan theme music and the beat you're hearing now is written by our very own Matthew. We would like to thank Michael Gelfie Studios, the world reference for tabletop RPG audio, for the music and the ambiance. You can find out more about them at michaelgelfie.com. Check out their Patreon and YouTube links in the description. Leave us a comment and rate us 5 stars on your podcast app of choice, especially Apple Podcasts. Spotify also allows you to rate and leave comments. So leave us some and we will read them on the podcast. Also, if you have questions or a topic you would like to discuss, feel free to email us at thecursedcaravan@gmail.com. And we may also answer you on the podcast. So get on those comments and let us know what you think. The Cursed Caravan is also on YouTube. Just look up The Cursed Caravan and you will find it. All of our contact information is in the description. Thank you for being a traveler on The Cursed Caravan.
Emad, what'd you do to your thumb?
The weather during the winter is dry, and with my work using my thumbs a lot, it starts to create a callus, and then the callus cracks, and then my thumb bleeds.
You know, chapped thumb?
Yes, it hurts really bad, so I soaked it in Neosporin and wrapped it in gauze.
Sorry, you should get some Aquaphor.
That is a very good idea. I use that in my crotch when I chafe.
Oh.
If it's an open wound, you probably don't want to use Aquaphor, though.
No, Aquaphor's fine.
Cause icy hot!
Well, I use it on my tattoos.
Rub icy hot on your crotch!
I'm just worried that the mint might agitate the open wound.
There's a mint in Aquaphor. That's really? Yeah.
It's menthol?
No, there's a menthol. Aquaphor is basically like Vaseline.
Vaseline has mint.
No, Vaseline doesn't have mint. You're thinking of Vicks VapoRub. Aquaphor is like a big old Carmex.
I just Googled it, and Vaseline does in fact have mint.
What does it?
It is most often packaged publicly with mint as its default scent or flavor.
Oh, well.
Don't
the
eat
first
it.
Result delicious. Pulling up Vaseline, 6 of them are mint.
You never had the Vaseline
okay, well
hot
then
dogs.
Not like Vaseline.
Vaseline hot dogs.
Vaseline is just a...
First you get them in the rear end real fast and quick, and then you put them in the front end real fast and quick.
It's just a jelly. You're not wrong. But as it is marketed to people, is the first 6 results. Vaseline, lip therapy, mint. Vaseline jelly, now in a stick with mint. Vaseline with mint. Vaseline with mint. Cosmetic Vaseline, mint.
Rub
it on your eyes.
I imagine that there probably is an Aquaphor that has like menthol in it, but the...
Okay, being more fair, just looking up Vaseline on its own is just petroleum jelly.
Yeah,
if you type in Vaseline mint, the first 6 results are all Vaseline mint flavored things.
Huh. Is that what you typed in?
Yes. So it was maybe not fair. Maybe I weighted the search.
So
don't include any of this in
I have one of those at home.
Yeah.
Your clapping won't save you, Cody.
Aquifer is a healing ointment.
Edit this out. Edit this out.
It's what I use whenever I get my tattoos to keep it fucking moisturized.
Look how it's spelled.
Yeah. You should get some Aquifer.
Aquifer.
That's what my mom uses too, because she gets her hands get really dry because of her Raynaud's. Because her hands are always so cold, so she uses Aquifer.
The one that you use for your hands when you used to put them in socks. That one has mint in it, right? Or menthol?
That was Vicks. Yeah.
That was Vicks?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I put Vicks on my feet whenever I'm feeling sick, and then I put socks on.
But you had the thing where your hands were drying out for a while, and you used to put them on your hands and then put socks in
that
your hands?
That was not Vicks. That was just lotion.
That's what I'm asking. It was just regular lotion?
That was just regular lotion.
Okay.
I put my feet on my hands, wrap those up in a jacket.
Long story short, Amon, don't put anything with mint on your open wounds.
Oh, okay.
Or your crotch.
It would burn.
When we were working at I would have to wash my hands so much, so my hands would get super dry and chapped. So I would
scheming too much?
So then I'd put Felicia's a bunch of lotion on my hands, put socks on my hands.
She doesn't understand why the fly is her weird spirit animal, but then she does that so much it makes her hands bleed.
Ew, flies are gross. Gross.
I don't think
gross.
Flies are gross. Shit? I don't sniff shit. Don't
and then she eats it either. Right after. Just...
gross.
Damn, dude. Nice chair.
But I used to put... Actually, I do think it was Aquifer that I put on my hands, mm-hmm. and then I just put socks. Like a baby socks on my hands.
I Aquifer
on
it. I just didn't know if it was the Aquifer with mint or not. Because it has a very medicinal smell.
It's a healing ointment.
Don't eat it. Don't eat it. It's not flavored. It's not flavored.
Imagine it colored red and in a bottle to drink.
But that is, yeah. It says cracked carefree on the, look, I'll put it up
craft?
On the big screen. Check it out. See? Okay. You gotta go away. See that? To carefree. Cracked. Aquifer, carefree.
You do cocaine,
oh,
you're good.
That, and then you become that. You become a bloody mess, and then you become two people.
So Rootmore applies Vicks Vicorub on his open wounds, and he screams.
Not
you guys hear the scream that wakes you up.
And then the serpent comes out. It's Druengar, the glint axe. I'm alive again, he says.
Where's my axe?
Fatal, right, my armor. My axe. Where are they?
Oh, fuck yourself.
Roll for initiative. Please cut all of this out. This is garbage. Don't keep any of this. You'll realize later.
Except the information about the Aquifer and that it's good
no,
for
cut
tattoos.
That out too.
Actually, don't put that in there because then tattoo people will come for me and they'll be like, you shouldn't be using Aquifer.
Tattoo talk.
And then I'll be like, look, I don't know the stuff that you guys
tattoo
use.
Talk.
I just use Aquifer.
Don't worry, nobody comments.
My fucking mustache keeps getting stuck
yeah, you
on
know
my
what?
Microphone.
Leave it on there so the tattoo people do come for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't worry, nobody cares.